This recording, Oklahoma 7, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily in an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so she made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Karma, Karma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, Bob and 5 others, my dad, Johnny Lee Wills, included, came up from Texas to Oklahoma in 1934, and there were 6 original Texas Playboys. You know, you hear a lot of the bands going around now, or at least one, claiming come hear the original Texas Playboys. Well, I guess that some of those are original, and not nearly all of them are, but they're original, I guess, in the fact that at one time or other they played maybe on stage with Bob,
sure,
but didn't really travel with him or on the payroll, you might say, but had the distinction of being on stage with him and performing with him, whether it be just a one-night deal or maybe a little short tour or whatever. But and there are still a few of those, like Curly Lewis, that are still alive, you know. But they came here in 34, the 6 of them, as the quote-unquote original Texas Playboys, because only the first ones, in my opinion, can be original, you know. And Bob stayed here in Tulsa for 8 years. And in 1942, he left here and went to California. He went in the service. And Dad remained here all the rest of his life, and kind of what you might say picked up the torch for Western Swing in the Tulsa area and all around here, but Bob was on the coasts. Well, Dad was pretty much stationed right here and played, you know, not only in Tulsa, but a lot of surrounding places around here that kind of had a little itinerary that they did, you know, kind of on a monthly basis at various places and give and take, you know, a few along the way.
They'd add some and take some off. Was there service in the Armed Forces musical? Were they in?
You know, I really don't know. I think perhaps Bob, I don't think, was in there like a full 4 years. So I think he did play some, and I don't know if he somehow medically got a early discharge or whatever. But that would, again, be in information, I'm sure, included in some of these books. But Dad, he stayed here and gave up the tenor banjo. He came up playing tenor banjo as one of the original Texas Playboys. And when Bob left, he cashed in his tenor banjo and took up the fiddle and fronted the band. From then on, it was called Johnny Lee Wills and All the Boys. And he fronted the band with his fiddle and put aside his banjo. And he played every day at noon on KVOO radio, just as Bob had done when they came up. So he kind of picked that up and kept it going. And I think 1958 was the last broadcast. And at that time, he had the longest running live radio program on radio in the